together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome your neighbor. You didn't even wait to hear how you will welcome them. Hallelujah. Say welcome to the presence of a God that is bigger, that is stronger, that is higher, that is greater. Say, because you are in his presence, I am assured and I prophesy into your life that everything that has been bothering you, God is bigger, God is greater, God is stronger, God is higher, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're looking at the topic titled Knowing God of Divine Manifestation. We've been looking at this for the last couple of weeks. We think this is our fourth week. And even as I dig deeper in this, God has also been revealing himself to me. Hallelujah. I've been knowing God more. Daniel 11:32 is our base scripture. It's our foundation scripture. Daniel 11 verse 32b. And it says, but the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong and shall stand firm and do exploits for God. If you have missed the other series, technical way, can give it to you. But basically, we've been looking at what does it mean to know God. We said this is a year that we need to know God beyond any outer of doubt. And I'm sure that God is speaking to the church about knowing God. The youth parents, I don't know how many of you were able to, when I forwarded the life thing, how many of you were able to connect. Even the pastor that was speaking to the youth was talking about that. The general overseer was talking about it. So God is speaking to us. This is not a year to play church. This is a year to know God beyond the way you have ever known him, beyond the way I have ever known him. Because nobody can explain God to you beyond your experience of him. I can tell you all the things about God, but it's not knowing about God. It's knowing God for who he is. Because there are different dimensions to God. So many dimensions to God. And we begin to peel the layers. We can't stop peeling the layers. We cannot stop unraveling God. Oh my God. The one who makes heaven is sitting. Can you imagine? He sits in heaven. And this is where his feet is. How tall is that feet? So if we were to look at his feet alone, we will spend our entire life until Jesus comes, looking at his feet alone, knowing God. So you can't know God too much. It's not possible. We can't know God. And we'll be using Daniel as a case study. We said knowing God is refusing to compromise. And we look at the case of Daniel. We said Daniel that he refused to compromise because of the God he knows. When even as a captive in Babylon, he refused to compromise because he knew God beyond what, beyond an altar of doubt. So that when they wanted to feed him something from the king's table, can you imagine asking you to eat what the king is eating and you deny and you turn it down? It's like being invited to the White House and say, come and dine with President Trump. And you say, no, don't give me what President Trump is eating. Just give me some. If my children were here, they would make fun of me. Just give me some cucumber. No, mommy, it's not cucumber. So, yeah, right. I paid for your school. I paid for you to go to school. That's why you can make fun of me. No, just give me some broccoli. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And don't give me the French fries that Donald Trump will eat or the McDonald's. Just give me some vegetable. He knew God. He knew that even though the food looked appetizing, that it was poison. He knew that no matter how pa- how well packaged sin might look like it is poison. It can look well packaged because sin don't come in the way we think sin will come. He will look appealing, he will look tantalizing, he will look beautiful. But he said, it is poison, I'm not going to do it. So he refused to compromise. If you missed that series, please get it from the technical. And I said, Daniel knew God to the point of conviction, number two, that God cannot fail. He put God to test. He said, you don't worry, just give us that for a few days and then put us to test. Test our God and see what will happen. And we all knew what happened to him. And we said, he also know God, that he refused, that was what we studied last week, he refused to allow the enemy to have the upper hand in his life. He refused to allow the enemy to have the upper hand in his life. He relied on God's wisdom. He knew God so much that even when he was being led, when they asked the chief slaughter to come and take him, he said, what is the reason why you want to go and kill me? Tell me the reason. He refused. You know, some people say, oh, Jesus is the lamb, so we're supposed to be gentle. No, you don't. You are not gentle. You should not be gentle for the enemy. He's the lamb, but the lion also came out of him. He's also the lion of the tribe of Judah. So he refused to be just, you know, gentle for the enemy. When he came to the devil, you have to resist him. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But he first of all says, submit yourself to God. And submitting to God is part of knowing God. And we also look at last week, we look at the fact that Daniel knew God so much that, okay, I think that's where we stopped. So today we're going to start on the series. And knowing God, he's winning again and again and again. Those who know God are not one-time testifiers. They have testimony over and over and over and over again as a result of knowing God. They are not one-time winners. They are not one-time success recorders. They record success over and over and over again. You want to testify every time? You want to win over and over again? You want to win again and again and again? And people say, is he the only one? Is she the only one? Why is she the only one testifying? It comes from knowing God. It comes from knowing God. Those who know God are able to reproduce their success. They don't have one success and run with it. No, you reproduce. And when they reproduce it on a bigger level. On a bigger level. The first time I got a wow promotion was 3 steps. And then when God was going to reproduce it, it was 13 steps. They reproduced it on a bigger level. It's not just one time. It's continuous. And they also realized that the success they reproduce is not of their own making. It is because of God. So they don't commercialize it. But they glorify God with it. Daniel chapter 5. If you have time when you get home, read Daniel chapter 5, the whole of the chapter is 31 verses. Read the entire Daniel chapter 5. You will be blown out. But I'm going to read from 10 to 17. And I'll read the New Living Translation. Daniel 5. Verses 10 to 17. So let me give you a preamble. So the previous verses, King Nebuchadnezzar died. And his son, King Belshazzar, took his place. So the same thing that happened to Nebuchadnezzar now happened to Belshazzar. So Belshazzar he threw a feast. And he said, bring me all the golden cups and the silvers and things like that that you took from Jerusalem. You know, the things that they were using to worship God. He said, so he now took it with his concubines and his wives, and they started dancing and drinking and partying with it. And then in the middle of that, they saw a handwriting on the wall. And he didn't know what the handwriting means. Guess what? They went to look for Daniel. So the mother said, don't worry. She said, I know a man that can reproduce. He said, this man is filled with the spirit of a holy God. Let's read it. But when the queen mother heard what was happening, she hurried to the banquet hall. She said to Belshazzar, "Long live the king. Don't be so pale and frightened. There is a man in your kingdom. There is a man in your kingdom who has within him the spirit of the holy gods. During Nebuchadnezzar's reign, this man was found to have insight, understanding and wisdom like that of the gods, your predecessor. The king, your predecessor, King Nebuchadnezzar, made him chief over all the magicians, the enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers of Babylon." Can you imagine if they called Daniel and he wasn't able to reproduce? You imagine what would have befallen him if he had been a one-time champion. When they called him for this, he said, this man, he said his name was not Belshazzar, but the king, your father, gave him that name. They gave him the name of our God. He said, but he's still filled with divine knowledge and understanding, in spite of the fact that we change his name. He said he can still interpret dreams. He can explain riddles. He can solve difficult problems. And then he said, call for Daniel. He will tell you what the writing means. And guess what? When they brought Daniel, he didn't fail. He said, don't worry, I will tell you. And the king said, I promise you I will do this. He said, keep your gift. I'm not commercializing the gift of God upon my life. So keep what you want to do for me, but I will tell you the meaning. And he proceeded to tell the king the meaning. He said, one is because your days are numbered. The other one is because your sin has been weighted on the scale. And the other one, the last one, is because your kingdom has been divided. I forgot the word now, that those words that were written on the wall, but the meanings I just told you. So he told the king the meaning. I pray that in the name of Jesus, you will not be a one-time success. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will not be a one-time testifier. Amen. That whatever you have achieved in the past, you will achieve more. Amen. A greater one is coming. In the name of Jesus. Amen. That when people depend on God through you, that you will show up. Amen. In the name of Jesus. You will not only show up, that you will deliver. Amen. You know, have you had people like that in your life, that you know that when you call them, your problem is half solved, or if not completely solved? They are not God, though. I'm not saying make them God. But you know that when you talk to them, I have people like that in my life, that I know that when I call them, I will find a solution. May God make you such a person for other people in the name of Jesus. And I'm praying that God will make me also such a person. They say, oh, no, don't worry. Wait until you call Pastor Yeti, your problem is solved. It's not because I'm God. It's because there's a God on the inside of me. You know, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And then I was like, okay, where does this strength comes from? And then you go back to Daniel 11, and he said, those that know their God, they shall be strong. So it is Christ's strength that allow him to be able to do. And knowing God is what gives you the strength to be able to do. So we'll be saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You need to know God first. Know God so that you have the strength to do. It is what gives strength to do. When you look at the life of Paul, despite all the exploits he has done, he's the same Paul that is saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then at some point, before he got there, that's Philippians chapter 4, 13, right? In Philippians 3 from verse 7, right about verse 10, he said that I may know him. He knows that knowing him is what's going to give him the strength to do. But what do we find in the body of Christ? We want to do first before we know. Wrong principle. Wrong spiritual principle. And that is why we get it wrong. And that is why we run in our own strength. And the Bible says, by strength shall no man prevail. You have to know before you can do.
You have to know him before you can do anything in him. When Paul first encountered Christ on his way to Damascus, the Damascus experience, hallelujah, may you not have such experience in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 9, verse 5. When God first encountered him, did you know that he didn't ask God that? Acts 9, 5. Let's read it. Acts 9, 5. If you can bring it up for me, please. Acts chapter 9, verse 5. We'll read 5 and 6. Okay. So this is when he had a voice. Most of us, when we hear voice, when we hear God speaking, we ask, what do you want me to do? The first thing he asks is, who are you, Lord? I want to know you. I want to know who is talking to me. And then God now told him what to do. You know, people ask, I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know what my purpose is in life. What am I supposed to do for God? What is my destiny? What is my purpose? What is my goal? You know what you need to do first? Know him first. In knowing him, he will tell you what to do. He said, who are you, Lord? And then God didn't say, this is who I am. He told him what to do. He told him first what to do. He said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. He said, now go into the city. God added Jairus for him. In asking God, who are you? God said, okay, I am the one that you are persecuting. But this is what I need you to do. He didn't ask for what to do. But God gave him what to do over the question he asked, because he wanted to know God. So when you seek to know God, that is why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first God. That's what he says. Every other thing shall be added unto you. When you see God, the Jairus comes on top of it. When you know God, then you begin to have all the Jairus that we're running about for. We begin to have all that Jairus that we're running about. Don't forget our foundation scripture. The people, the husband, the wife, the family, the sister, the brother, the daughter, the son, the child, the family, the church that knows God are the only people that we do. If we don't know, we can't do. We can do, but our doing is very, very, very small compared to what we would do if we know. As a family, if we come together and seek to know God, the do that we would do, all the things that is causing issues in our family, your husband and wife, you talk to me anyhow, you greet me anyhow, you look at me anyhow, you are not respectful, you are not, you don't love me as Christ loved the church. Are you a husband? And then the wife says, you're asking me to love you. No, the husband is saying you are not submissive. Women are supposed to be submissive. The wife is saying, why should I be submissive? You didn't love me as Christ loved the church. You know what the problem is? We don't know. We don't know. If we know God, I'm telling you, those things are easy. A husband that knows God is easy to love the wife. Because God will begin to show him. He just knows what she wants at each point in time. Sometimes you will do something, your wife will say, how did you know? That's what I wanted. It's from knowing God. Sometimes you do some things for your husband. You say, how do you know what I wanted? It's from knowing God. He goes beyond February 14. It's from knowing God. It's from knowing God. It's an everyday experience with God. God will just quicken you. Send your husband a text right now. And you begin to type the text, type the text, type the text, type the text. And the man is coming home. And he brings you a beautiful gift because of it. And you are happy. You are excited. It is from knowing God. The Spirit of God speaks to you. It is from knowing God. God will just tell you, pick up the phone and just tell your wife, I love you. And you, is this the same man that I married? Don't worry. It's the same man. He has just discovered God. is from knowing God. There is knowing before doing. You have to know before you do. You know, what we do should be on the basis of our knowing. But some of us, we serve God without knowing who we are even serving. We're on the race. We're just running up and down. But we don't have time to sit to know who is that person that I'm doing it for. As I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. I'm learning to be quiet. I'm learning to be, you know, I'm learning to just say, God, I just want to know you. That I may know you. That I may know you even more. Beyond what I'm telling the church members. Beyond what I say on Sunday. I just want to know you. I just want to know you more. You know the reason why we have people running after pastors? Running after prophets? I'm not saying don't have spiritual fathers. So I have spiritual fathers. I have people that I call when I'm faced with this big. I say, Daddy, I need you to join me. Have faith with me. I said, did one this week. So I do. But what am I saying? I will call on God first. I called on God first. And what God asked me to do is what he just confirmed what God had already told me. I'm not waiting for him to tell me what to do. He confirmed what God had told me because I sought God first. So we're running behind fake pastors, preachers and prophets because we don't know who we are serving. We don't know what we carry on the inside of us. Even Apostle Paul, he did so many exploits for God. And after that, he said, that I may know him. This is the same Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. He had a vision and revelation of going into third heaven or 13th heaven. Third. And after that, he's still saying, God, I still want to know you more. Then I haven't started. I'm not even scratching the surface. Lord, help me. I haven't been to the third heaven. I haven't even been to the first one. So why won't I dig more to know him? This was the same Apostle Paul that they would take handkerchief from him. The Bible recorded that they would take the handkerchief to the sick and the sick would be healed. And then he's still saying that I may know him. We must know him. Nobody has testified that they took handkerchief from me. And laid it on the sick and the sick recovered. So you see, I have not started. I'm still in my sleep. I have not even woken up to begin to dig. What am I saying? Am I saying I don't pray? No. I've wake up to pray, to say, God, all I'm praying for is just to know you. I just want more of you. I'm in tune with my spirit, with the spirit all day. As I'm going about my day, I'm speaking in tongues. I'm saying, God, just reveal yourself to me. I must know you. Beyond what anybody can tell me, I must know you. I have to know you. I have to know you. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 6 to 11. Philippians 3 from verse 6 to 11. Give me the Amplified if you have it. Philippians 3 verse 6 to 11. You have it, Amplified. He said, as to my zeal for Jewish tradition, a persecutor of the church, and as to righteousness, supposed right living, which my fellow Jews believe is in the law, I proved myself blameless. He said, everything that I needed to do in terms of keeping the law, you cannot fault me. If you bring me in front of the judge, they will not find anything wrong with me. He said, those things I used to think were gains to me. my running around, my 9-to-5 job, my beautiful car, my beautiful house, my wonderful children, you know, my career. Those things used to be gain to me at that time. I thought I had gain. I thought they were advancement, my promotion at work. I thought they were all advancements. He said, but now I've considered those things that they are a loss. They are a loss. He said they are absolutely worthless for the sake of Christ and the purpose which he has given my life. He said the reason why Christ has saved me is not for all these beautiful houses and cars. Those are additions to the kingdom. He said the reason why he has saved me is that I want to know him. It's for me to know him. He said, I consider it all garbage that I may gain Christ. Because I want to know Christ more, I'm not running after those things anymore. They are garbage. They are going to end up in trash. Verse 9 says, I want to know him and may be found in him, believing and relying on him, not having any righteousness of my own derived from my obedience to the law and his rituals, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And verse 10 says, and this so that I may know him. He said, experientially, that I may have my own experience of who he is beyond the Damascus experience. You are saved. Congratulations. After that, what happened? Becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him. Another translation said, intimately. Becoming intimate with him every day. Understanding the remarkable wonders of his, verse 11. Or is it still verse 10? So that I may attain to the resurrection that will raise me from the dead. He said, even though I had all those things and I used to think they were gain, what shall it profit a man? He said, yes, I want to know him beyond what anybody else can share. Have an experience. This is a man that has been to the third heavens and he's still saying, I still need experience. I beg you. As I've been to the third heavens, is he saying I need experience? Ah, we must know this God. We must know this God. You and I must know this God. Stand on your feet with me. Experientially. We must know him. Experience that we will say, the Christ that I have handled, that I have touched, experientially, you must know him. Beyond born again, there is more after being born again. Much more in Christ. That you will sit down and you will have revelations, like we're talking about this morning during the Sunday school. That you will have revelations. That nobody, Apostle Paul said, what I saw in the third heavens is what any man cannot say with open mouth. And then he's still saying he wants to know him more. Ah, please, all eyes closed. If you are here, you don't even know who we are talking about. Maybe you are just a church. You just come to church every Sunday. If you know, want to know him more, I just want you to sing this song with me and say, Lord, he said, call unto me and I will answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know of. He said, seek me with all your heart and you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart, this is my desire to honor you. Just sing that song with all your heart and just say, I want to know you. 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 I give you my heart, my soul, my everything. My everything. everything because those things that I think they have value, they are worthless. They are worthless. I want to know you more. 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 Reveal yourself to me, Lord. Beyond anybody's experience. That I'll be able to reproduce. That I'll be able to reproduce.
Adore is you.
I want to know you so that I can do exploits for you, Lord. I want to know you to receive strength.
This is my desire to honor you, to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. I give you praise. All that I adore, all that I soul. I live for you. I live for you. Hello. Every breath that I take. Every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way.
Mouth and just say, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I want to know you more of you. I want more of you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. More of you, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Stir me up, oh God. Wake me up to pray in the middle of the night. Cause me to find you, to seek for you, to look for you. And not look for pastors. And not look for prophets. And not look for things. That my desire will be for you to know you, O God. To look for you, to seek you, to find you, O God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, cause us to look for you. Cause us to seek for you. To find you, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, Father, that our desire will be for you, to know you. To know you, to experience you, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, help us, help us. Help us to know you, oh God, so we can do for you. In the name of Jesus. Enough of doing in blindness, oh God. Enough of doing things for God that we do not even know. Lord, help us to know you. That we can do that exploit for you. That we can receive strength to do. It is in you, knowing you, that we can receive strength to do. Lord, help us to know you. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus,
Lord, we give you praise, oh God. We worship you. Just lift up your hands. Say, Father, I open my heart to you. Stir me up. Stir me up. Stir me up. To know you more. To know you more. To seek you more. To love you more. To please you more. To obey you more. To receive strength to do more for you. But above all, oh God, I want to know you more. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.